Jay from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hey, Darren! How you doing? Season 46!
Season 46 is in the
mix! Season 46!
Woo!
Yeah, baby! We are back. Well, SNL is back. We have been here talking about other things and movies and things. But now we are back. We're talking about a sketch comedy show.
Yeah, like we haven't done... I mean, well, technically we did it when we talked about the very first episode. But like this is like the first new episode in the studio that we've talked about. And it's like, oh, wow. I remember how to do this?
I think we last did a new episode. It was in May when the SNL at home ended, I think. Maybe?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, if you want to count the at-homes, yeah. If you want to count the ones in the studio, that'd be March. I mean, like, it's been so long. It's a whole new world. Do I even know how to do this anymore?
Yeah, no. No, probably not. Probably not. But, yeah.
Right, well,
Hey, welcome to any new listeners that we might have. Just checking us out because the new season has started. I'm John. The other guy's Darren. We talk about Saturday Night Live. We go through it sketch by sketch, and we say hopefully insightful / funny things about it. So enjoy.
Right. Yes. Manja.
Enjoy. Yeah. Welcome. Please tell your friends. So, yeah, this was a big week. This was a big news week.
A lot happened. Yeah, a lot happened. Especially on Friday, you could say.
A lot of stuff happened in the world. Some stuff happened for our podcast. Let's talk about it. Last week we did our Mean Girls episode, and by sheer coincidence, it was out in time for Mean Girls Day on October 3rd, which was completely unplanned, but still kind of cool.
Yeah, we really got like it was like the universe was trying to tell us something, trying to say, hey, you should record like a Mean Girls episode and put it out around the time Mean Girls Day, and the stars aligned for this beautiful thing to come out.
Yeah. I don't know if that got us any extra downloads or listens, but I thought that was kind of cool. So
yeah,
And October 3rd is Mean Girls Day, apparently, just because they mentioned that date at one point in the movie. So,
right, it's October 3rd.
Rather arbitrary, but still neat.
Hey, it's rather arbitrary. I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah, and kind of a big news week in the world.
Yeah,
we had a Supreme Court nominee. We had the presidential debate. Let's see what else. President got COVID.
Hey, wait. What was that last one?
The president got COVID-19. He got the Rona.
Oh boy. And I think we were talking about it online. Like, I think one of us tweeted out or through our Twitter account that once that news broke out, we were like, oh, the SNL writers right now must be scrambling with the rewrites.
Yeah. I mean, because typically on SNL, they write the show on like Tuesday is most of the writing, I believe. And then, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're prepping the show, getting it back up on, getting it on its feet, as it were. And I think they were, they're rejiggering the schedule a little bit just because of out of safety concerns. So like when a major news story breaks late in the week, you know, it's just going to throw a huge monkey wrench in their plans.
Yeah. Although I did see somebody tweet saying something like, well, I mean, this is huge news, but for the most part, they can only see this really affecting the cold open, Weekend Update, and Chris Rock's monologue, which, sure. Yeah, pretty much those were the three things that really had to get kind of, you know, swapped around a bit.
Right, yeah, because those are the most topical parts of the show. But, yeah, so actually, we haven't even like said who the host and the musical guests are for this. This was the first episode of season 46. So season 46, episode 1 from October 3rd, 2020. Chris Rock hosting and Megan Thee Stallion musical guesting. Shit, I didn't give the date. Okay. Let me do that once more.
All right.
So it's SNL season 46, episode 1, October 3rd, 2020. Chris Rock hosting, Megan Thee Stallion musical guesting. Exciting lineup to start out the season with, I think.
I would say so. I mean, you know, Chris Rock, an alum of SNL, mm-hmm. you know, one of the best stand-up comics out there right now, one of my favorites. Megan Thee Stallion, I'm not too familiar with her stuff. I know she's like a big deal now, especially with the that WAP song.
Mm-hmm.
That all the kids like to rock and roll dance to at the sock hops.
That was the big song of the summer, I think. Was it? I don't know.
It came out later in the summer, but it really hit. So
yeah,
I would say it was song of the summer. Sure, why not?
It's the pop song I've been hearing the most about. So I'll say it's the song of the summer. But
yes.
Yeah, yeah. But keep in mind, I'm a middle-aged dude who doesn't listen to much current music anymore. So,
yeah. So, I mean, I don't know much about Megan Thee Stallion, but, you know, I love Chris Rock. So I was like, mm-hmm. when I first heard the news, I was like, oh, okay, this could be interesting. It would be good to sort of hear his take on, you know, what's happening in the world right now. I think I mentioned this on a podcast I was on. A couple weeks ago, the SNL stats, where I said it would be good to see, like, it was a smart move to have Chris Rock come on, because much like when Dave Chappelle hosted the episode after Trump got elected, like, they would have mm-hmm. a good take on what's happening right now, and maybe sort of, you know, sort of put everybody at ease a little bit, and just kind of have a fresh take on, like, the insanity that we live in.
I agree. I actually put that in my notes on the Chris Rock monologue. I said, I like it when they have a no BS black man give us a monologue about where we are as a country. And Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock, they're both really good at that. They're both really smart. They're really funny. They're really insightful. And they will give you a take that you have not heard before. Yeah, and that's a great quality to have as a comic.
No, absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, I was really looking forward to this episode, and I mean, we'll get into it, but for the most part, this episode was okay. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's start out. We have the cold open. Unsurprisingly, it was about the presidential debate that we had this week between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. It starts out with a scroll saying it's a rebroadcast of Tuesday's presidential debate, even though Tuesday feels like 100 days ago.
Correct.
It was interesting. We had Beck playing the moderator, Chris Wallace, Alec Baldwin, of course, returning as Donald Trump, and Jim Carrey making his debut as Joe Biden.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people, I think, when they put out that video of how he would look as Biden. Of course, it had him next to Maya Rudolph mm-hmm. as Kamala Harris. I think a lot of people were saying, oh, he kind of looks like that dude in Lemony Snicket's Unfortunate Events, which he kind of did. And a lot of people would say, oh, he's kind of doing like a Fire Marshal Bill thing with it. But like, I don't know. I enjoyed Jim Carrey's Biden. I mean, a lot of people are comparing it to the other Bidens, like Harrelson's Biden, and of course, Sudeikis' Biden. He definitely looks the most like the actual Joe Biden than the other guys.
Oh, you think?
I think so. I would say so.
I might give it to Sudeikis, but I don't know. I think maybe it's just because I was very used to the Joe Sudeikis, so that's in my mind the Biden impression to beat. So,
okay, right, fair enough.
I don't know. It was about what I expected for Jim Carrey as Joe Biden.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, there was, you know, he's a great comedic performer, great sketch performer, and you know, he always brings it. And of course, I mean, well, another thing about the sketch, which kind of I didn't realize until like I rewatched it today, 13 minutes long, the sketch.
they always go along with the presidential debate sketches. You know,
Is that the longest it's ever gone? I feel like maybe not.
I don't know. I don't have the stats at the ready. I'm not the SNL nerd stat guy. So.
Oh, come on, John, get on it.
Look, I know you were on the SNL stats podcast this week, but no, I don't have those figures at the ready.
That's bad luck, John. Bad luck.
Okay. Well, I will just say yes. It's the longest ever.
There you go. If you don't know,
there's never been a thing that's longer than those 13 minutes.
There you go. If you don't know the answer, just make one up.
Okay, I'll just yes and you.
Yeah, just you say it with enough confidence, it becomes true. You know,
So, I mean, there were some good lines in this. We had Biden saying, "I've got the beginning of 46 fantastic ideas," which, yeah, that was pretty good. We had Biden listening to a meditation tape, and we had a surprise cameo from Harry Styles.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. And then Trump wanted to listen to his meditation tape, and of course, it was Cecily who's playing Kimberly Guilfoyle, giving that insane RNC speech that she gave a few months ago, you know, saying, "The best is yet to come."
She was playing Guilfoyle. I thought it was she was reprising Jeanine Pirro again.
No, that was pure Guilfoyle. I mean, don't you remember I don't know. Did you see the RNC thing or any? Probably not.
I don't remember that. So I was mixing up my shrill Republican ladies. So
it's an easy mistake to make. They're pretty interchangeable. But yeah, no, she was.
What I found most interesting about it was that Cecily was green screened in because apparently she is still quarantining out in California. I believe she confirmed that in some interview or another this week. So she's not back at 30 Rock quite yet, I don't think.
Right, I believe she's still filming some things and whatnot. So she's not. She was. I mean, there was a reason why she wasn't in any sketch this for the show. She's
This is the only time we saw her in the show, I believe, outside of the credits.
That is correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we had Maya Rudolph coming in as Kamala Harris.
Yeah, yeah. She's the one that she plays like the mama, trying to break up these two arguing, quote unquote boys, even though they're both men, even though they're both men in their 70s.
I think that's a pretty good take on her. Because she really does seem very poised, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The jokes she had were kind of iffy. Like, at one point she said, "Oh, America needs a WAP, a woman as president." I was like,
Yeah, I thought that was cute. It was an applause line, for sure. And we had, towards the end of the sketch, Biden actually hits pause on Trump. And he like, freezes and go silent, and Biden just says, "Let's just bask in the Trumplessness for a minute."
That was a nice little switch they did there. It was kind of reminded me of that Adam Sandler movie, Click, where it's like, oh,
yeah.
I want the remote.
It was a neat sort of surreal touch that you don't usually see certainly not in like the political sketches.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It was a nice little switch 'em up.
Yeah, yeah. And then he said, just imagine that science and karma could somehow team up to show us how dangerous this virus could be. Because, of course, this was the debate on Tuesday, and we didn't know then what we found out about Friday, which is, yeah.
Yeah, that line took a whole new meaning.
No. Well, I mean, I'm sure that line was written after Friday. I'm sure they revised the ending.
Right. Yeah, but like he just said that. What if science and karma could team up and send us a message? And he just looks at Trump and then he says, you know, now I'm not saying I hope he gets it, but just imagine if he did.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I was like, ooh, wow, that's a this hot gets hot chihuahua. That's a hot one.
Yeah, yeah. So so this was all right. Like you said, it was probably a little longer than it needed to be. 13 minutes is a long one. But what you gonna do?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the sketches for this show, like I'll maybe grade on a little bit of a curve just because, all right, well, this is the first time back after, a number of months, and it's the first time they're doing it with all the quarantine precautions in place. Like, you know, like I noticed, like, as they were setting up the weekend update table, they were like, people wear masks, like wiping down everything. The band is in plexiglass cubicles and whatnot. So this is like the first time they're ever doing something like this. So yeah. I was like, all right, well then maybe I'll just, I won't grade it as harshly as I normally would. I'm tough, but fair.
It was really something to see the plexiglass dividers in between the band members. That was a thing that just really was like, oh, wow. Yeah.
We're in a whole new world, baby.
Yeah, we really are. We really are. And okay, so we go into the show proper, and we've got, much to our surprise, a new beginning with new shots of the cast. A lot of them wearing masks in a lot of the shots, and it looks like everything was just shot in and around 30 Rock. They weren't really going far. Usually they go all over New York City, and they shoot cast members at landmarks and things like that. And here, no, they're just staying close to home.
Yeah, it seems like Mikey Day's headshot or still, you know, photo was like literally just at the subway for subway stop for 30 Rock. It was like, wow, you guys are just in this one block radius you're going to stay. But I really like this new opening. I really dig it. Like, I actually like it better than last season's. I mean,
I think I liked last season's a little more, the one they've had for the last a year or two. I mean, it's... I think that one was a little more appealing. This one, it's definitely a moment in time, but hopefully inside of a year or two, it's going to be dated. So,
yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think I might like it a little bit more just because all the shots are like in black and white. And just that, I don't know, something about that classic New York black and white look just always appealed to me.
I was a little surprised by that because it's usually like they do a black and white opening, and the last one was like largely black and white with little splashes of color added in digitally here and there. So usually they go the other way and they go like, you know, color or so this one gave the new opening kind of a similarity to the last one, I thought, because they were both largely black and white.
Oh, yeah. All right. I could see that.
I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, either way, I mean, we also get to see our new cast members, Andrew Dismukes and Lauren Holt and Punky Johnson.
Yes. Yeah. Exciting to see them. Like the news broke a little before the premiere that Ego Nwadum has been bumped up to a regular cast member. So she's with the main cast. And we've got Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang still just featured players. I'm a little surprised by that. I thought they both had really strong years last year, so I would have thought they'd be bumped up as well.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me too. I mean, seeing as how, like in this show, there's one sketch, which we'll talk about later, where it's like literally just all Chloe.
Mm-hmm,
it's almost kind of like how, like you know, years ago, there was that season where Mike Myers was in a whole lot of sketches, but he still hadn't made, like, you know, the big cast yet, but you just kind of assumed he did just because he's in a lot of stuff. As the same way, like, with Chloe here.
Yeah, and you just wonder why that is. Is it, like, is it a performance thing? Is it a budget thing? I mean, maybe it's because I'm assuming, like, when you're bumped up to a regular cast member, you get some sort of salary bump. So, you know, maybe it's Warren was just, hey, I can't afford to bump all of these people up to regular cast. So I guess it's going to be just Ego. I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how they do the books over there in SNL, but that's a good
point. No. Yeah, I go over to 30 Rock and I say, hey, let me see the SNL budget. And they say, go away. You're not supposed to be here. And they have a point.
You show up with like a calculator and that like that green visor.
I got that. I've got one of those calculators that spits out the paper and makes all the noise. I think they still make those. I don't know. But
for the sake of the joke, we'll say this.
I have suspenders and a bow tie, so I look very official.
I'm John Trumbull. I need to look at your books, Jesse.
That's right. I came here straight from 1947. Let's see, I just want to know what you're paying Chloe Fineman and Bowen Yang.
monologue, let's get to the monologue.
Chris monologue, Chris Rock, he comes out in a mask, he does a great monologue, does great 8 minutes of stand-up, No hand mic. I guess Chris Rock is cool going rocking without the hand mic.
I see what you did there. But yeah.
What did I do?
You said rocking without it's Chris Rock.
Oh, yeah, no, not intentional.
Ooh, all right. But yeah, no hand mic, which was a surprise to me. Of course, he calls out the elephant in the room. He says right away, he says, yeah, Trump has COVID. He's in the hospital right now. My heart goes out to COVID.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. He also made a point of mentioning that the audience was all first responders, which was cool. And then they had a shot of the audience. They're more closely packed together than I thought they would be, but everybody was masked up.
Yeah, right? I thought they'd be like a little bit more spread out. I was like, huh, that's interesting.
I guess they wanted to keep the audience like more or less kind of confined to one space. I'm sure they can't have the same audience that they normally do. I think it's got to be a reduced audience, but maybe it's just for reasons of the mics picking up the laughter or whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
That's interesting.
But, I mean, I'm sure they're taking whatever safety precautions they can.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, and then, of course, then Chris Rock goes into, you know, his stand-up, as most stand-up hosts do, mentioned about, like, how people are now, you know, talking about their relationships and reevaluating their relationship throughout this time, and how we should maybe reevaluate our relationship to the government. Like, do we even need a government? Like, you know, he's talking about how he wants Joe Biden to be the last president ever. After this, we should maybe do something different. He got kind of political a little here.
Yeah, he was talking about how literally the only qualification or the only requirement to be president is you be 35 and born in the U.S. And he says, if anybody can be president, then anybody can be president. Yeah. And he points out that there are more rules to being a game show host than being president. And like, you know, Steve Harvey can't put his family on Family Feud. I mean, Chris Rock is really good at just reducing stuff down to that, to like the simplest possible metaphor, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. He's good like that. And then he ended his set with us with a James Baldwin quote, which kind of surprised me, saying, you know, not everything that is faced can be changed, but nothing can change until it's faced. So like he had like a little sentimental note saying, you know, we can't get through this. We just need to come together and, you know, just put all the bullshit aside and let's pull together, people.
Yeah. I thought that was really good. I thought it was a really, really strong set. Very funny, very insightful, and, you know, also encouraging, which is, I think, what a lot of people in the country need right now. God knows I certainly do.
Oh, Lord, indeed. We all need it. We all need it.
Yeah. So that's why I'm really glad they got Chris Rock to host this, because he's a good guy to have at this moment in time.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, first sketch of the night, we got the super spreader event with Heidi Gardner as a news anchor. She throws out to Mikey Day as a field reporter, and he's at a federal building reporting on a potential super spreader event. And we find out that everyone was there to get their names changed, and everybody's got comedic names.
Yes, names like Edith Puthie. And Irma Gerd.
Gerd with our new cast member Lauren Holt as Irma Gerd.
Yeah. And of course, you know, D Perdaddy, Burton Ernie, Alma Holds Hurt. And basically this is the exact same sketch they did in the Rachel Brosnahan episode. But yeah. It's just like funny names, like you when you hear them, like, oh, like Mike Roch and shit like that. It's like, you know, it's juvenile humor, but you can't help but giggle a little bit.
Yeah, it's another Mikey Day Streeter Seidel joint. I was still so on this when I was watching it live last night. I rewatched it just before we started recording. I liked it a lot more. It was a little stronger than I thought at the beginning. So, yeah, I dug it. And Lorraine Newman actually tweeted about it.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
She tweeted, okay, so tonight's bit about the name changing has me laughing so hard. It's so juvenile, but damn it, it's so funny. Great premise. So thumbs up from Lorraine Newman.
Yeah.
Not ready for primetime player.
Yeah. I mean, look, like sometimes It's okay to laugh at childish name jokes. It's like remember a while ago there was that sketch that they had. I think it was like during the Chris Parnell era, where mm-hmm. it was about like a colonel coming back home after the war. After
Colonel
the war.
Angus.
Colonel Angus.
Yeah, sure.
See, like stuff like that. It's like, oh, I see what you're doing there, Colonel.
That's classic. Colonel. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put this at on the level of Colonel Angus. I think that was one for the ages. I mean, because it was really cleverly written, and you put Chris Walken in any sketch, it's going to elevate it. But this was good. There was a lot of clever stuff in there. We had Beck playing a character named Mike Rodick, and he's emphasizing, yeah, it's very important to separate those two names, and he's changing his name to Mike Litt.
Mm.
Keenan playing a character named Jeffrey B. Epstein.
Yeah, you have to put that B in there, or else it's a whole other thing.
Yeah, and we have Chris Rock saying things like Jeffrey Epstein is a hero.
Yeah, and like I think at one point Mike Litt left, and he's like, and Mike Day was like, "Oh yeah, I'm having trouble finding Mike Litt. He was right here. I can't seem to find him."
He was right under my nose, but I lost him. And Heidi's like, "Well, maybe you can search for Mike Litt when you're done with those other people." Did you notice there was a little screw up where Chris Rock, he introduces his character as Kenneth Johnson, but the subtitle under him says Kenneth Joseph.
I noticed that too. I thought that was just me, but yeah, like,
yeah, I thought it was my imagination at first, but yeah, the little cryon didn't match underneath him. I don't know what the screw up was. I don't know if they got the wrong name to put on screen or if Chris Rock said the wrong name, but I was like, okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, like for a minute, I was like, oh, is that part of the joke that he? But then I was like, no, that's Chris Rock.
No, they didn't do anything with it. It was just some sort of screw up, and I don't know whose screw up it was. But but the kicker at the end, we have Heidi's anchor character give her name as Ashley Spitzer Swallows. So
there you go. And there you have it, people.
Yeah. That was also almost Austin Powers-esque.
Yeah, no, because they do use that name in the Austin Powers too. I totally forgot mm-hmm. about that. Yep. Well, which one is it, baby? Spitzer Swallows. Yeah.
So, yeah, but that was really good. At first, I was wondering, like, oh, why is this the first sketch of the show? But looking back, I now think it was probably the strongest sketch of the night.
Wow. All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I think maybe they started off with this one because, you know, maybe they just knew people needed something to, like, comfort food. Like, in these crazy times, they need something that's, like, kind of warm and familiar that, like, can maybe get the show started off on, on the right foot.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice just to have something fun and silly. So
yeah, just something fun and silly, nothing too heavy, nothing that'll make you, you know, think too much. Just you just hear, you know, it's just Spitzer Swallows and like, oh, that's funny. Ha ha.
Yep.
You feel better.
Yep.
Yeah. Mike Litt makes everything better.
I've always said that. Yes. So next we had a pre-tape of a number called Hello, which was a rap song.
Hello. The way you said a rap.
I know. It was a rap song.
Oh, John.
I have never felt more Caucasian than that moment.
This is a hip-hop ditty, I believe?
It was a rap song by one of the rappists.
Oh boy!
We had Chris Redd, Pete Davidson, and Keenan as three rappers, and they're rapping about how they want to see the bottom of your face. They can't see any of their girlfriend's full faces because they're all masked up.
Right. It's a catchy rap song. I kind of like was mm-hmm. bopping along to it. And yeah, you know, they're talking about how in these COVID times, everybody wears a mask. You don't know what people's faces look like fully. And so, you know, they just want to see what your face looks like, girl.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. I started a new job back in May, and I'm more used to seeing most of my coworkers masked than unmasked. So,
oh, wow.
It's weird. I mean, because that's just the default. That's how you generally see them.
Wow. Like if this ever you know, goes away and we go back to some normal and people don't wear masks anymore, like, and they walk up to you, that you will you be able to recognize them? Or
I think so. I think so. But I, you know, I was thinking today, this has got to be hell for like deaf people who are good lip readers, because you can't lip read when people are masked up.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that. That was
just a thought I had today when I was picking up a prescription at the pharmacy this morning. I was just like, this has got to suck for lip readers.
Oh, man, that sucks. Maybe, maybe they could do a thing where they have a mask that's like made out of a chalkboard, and you just write on the mask in chalk what you're trying to say.
That sounds incredibly practical. Yeah, I don't see a single thing wrong with that plan.
Million-dollar idea?
Electronic mask that like flashes what you're saying on like a scrolling type, like a news ticker in Times Square or something.
Oh, dude, that's genius.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Let's get the patent on that. As soon as we're done recording, let's trademark that idea.
All right. We can get a mask made out of a chalkboard or a whiteboard if you want to use a marker and be, you know, not as messy.
Yeah, nice little dry erase thing.
Yeah.
So
this could work. This could work. I think our ship has come in with this thing.
That's right. Yeah. No, we'll have to, you know, we can stop this crummy podcast and we'll just be raking in the dough making these high-tech masks.
Oh, man. Oh, it's going to be, I can't wait.
I thought the song was all right. It was kind of funny. It was impressive. Production wise, we had Chris Rock, we had Ego, and we had Megan Thee Stallion in there.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Rock comes in towards the end and does like a kind of like a spoken word thing. Kind of reminded me of that song, his hit, "No Sex in the Champagne Room," type a little bit, talking about, oh, I just want to see what you got on the underneath your mask. Could be like, maybe, what if you have like one tooth, one big tooth, or anything, something like that. And I was like, all right. It felt okay. It felt a little out of place, but I mean, for the most part, like I went along with it.
Yeah, it was all right. I mean, it was really impressive production wise. I mean, it's really amazing how they can throw together a music video inside of a week, you know?
It really is. It was like, wow, this is crazy.
So let's see. Next, what was the title of this one? The next one was called Future Ghost.
Future Ghost.
Future Ghost, and this was it takes place in October of 2000 with Kyle Mooney as a young kid playing video games in his basement, and then Chris Rock comes in as a ghost from the future, and he's dressed all in white. He's got like this silver hair. He looked like Samuel L. Jackson in the movie Jumper, I thought.
Oh wow, I was gonna say like Frozone in The Incredibles, but I think I like your thing better.
Okay, well, you know, we both go in with a Samuel L. Jackson character. So he's Samuel L. Jackson-esque. We're agreed on that much.
Right. But he has like a white high-top face. I'm looking at the picture now. He has like a white trench coat and a white shirt underneath it. It's really striking.
Yeah. I mean, it's not 100% like Jumper, because I think Samuel L. Jackson had silver hair in Jumper, but it was still very... I just looked at it and I was like, oh, Samuel L. Jackson in Jumper. But... He shows Kyle his future, and it's, you know, in October of 2020, he's like, he's quarantined, he's moved back in with his mom. But the main thing that Kyle reacts to is he's blown away by the graphics in Tony Hawk's Skater.
Right. Like, so basically he takes him to the future. Like you said, we have Beck playing future him, and he's pretty much dressed in the same clothes. He's just older and chubbier, playing video games. Yeah, and like I think the ghost says, yeah, if you don't get out and do something with your life because of the pandemic, you kind of move back in with your folks and just play video games all day. And yeah, he's like, what's it like? And then Kyle's like, whoa, look at those graphics, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing he's most impressed by, because by how much better the graphics are in 2020, because they have come a long way in the last 20 years. Let's face it,
they're pretty amazing.
And then a little stinger at the end. We find out that Kyle's mom has married Kenan Thompson.
Yeah, that was a interesting little way to end it, because at the end, his mom comes in wearing a mask, and then Kyle's like, "Oh, cool, my mom becomes a dentist. That's pretty neat."
Yeah, yeah.
And then Keenan comes down. It's like, hey, don't you disrespect your mom. And then that's when Kyle says, my mom married Keenan Thompson? What? And right. then it's like, my mother married Keenan Thompson. Now one Peacock.
Yeah, yeah. So just a, you know, very go-to SNL move. When in doubt of how to end a sketch, you just bring in Keenan to do something goofy at the end.
That's right. And you pretend the whole thing was a commercial for a non-existing TV show.
Right. Starring Keenan Thompson.
Starring Keenan Thompson. Yeah, I mean, this was, of course, this was definitely a Beck and Kyle sketch. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm on the record as saying I'm not the biggest Kyle and Beck fan. Like, it's usually kind of hit and miss for me. This was kind of the same thing. I like the ending. The ending kind of saved it a little bit, where it is like, oh, the show is my mom married Keenan Thompson. But yeah, I mean, but for the most, aside from that ending, the sketch was like kind of so-so for me.
Yeah, I was kind of in on this myself. So, not much more to say about it. Just
nope. You know.
I was amused by Chris Rock's look more than anything. So.
Yeah, and I also was kind of amused by, like, they had posters up of early, to let you know it was the 2000, they had, like, the Blink-182 Enema of the State poster.
Yeah. The Enema of the State, and yeah.
And a AOL poster, because, of course, back in 2000, we all had America Online posters hanging up in our dorms.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, that was the style of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I was more of a Lycos man, but still, I get it.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I had a big Ask Jeeves banner up.
Ooh.
In my apartment, you know.
Yeah, I had a framed Netscape Navigator poster.
I had a nice GeoCities diploma.
I can't think of another search engine. All right, you win.
I win! Woo! Yeah!
Damn it! Guys, tweet at us old non-existing search engines. Next Yahoo! I had a Yahoo.
Yeah, they're okay. There you go. All right, now you win.
All right, yay!
Yay! You pulled it out the last second.
Oh man, I'm sweating.
Next, we had the Drew Barrymore show. This was another pre-tape. It looked like.
Yeah, pretty much. And this was the Chloe Fineman sketch I was talking about before, where it's Chloe Fineman as Drew Barrymore. And it's a promo for the Drew Barrymore show, because after all that stuff that happened to Ellen, NBC decided to take a hard left.
Yeah, we took a hard turn in the other direction. And Drew Barrymore does actually have a talk show now. I think it's some like a daytime talk show, I'm assuming.
Yeah, yeah, she does.
And she seems like a good choice for that sort of thing, because she's a very upbeat kind of person, it seems.
Yeah, and I mean, Chloe's Drew Barrymore impression is really pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it's a pretty killer Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, because like I remember her like putting it up on Instagram a couple months ago, and like it getting some traction, and like you know, I think it got her like in the public eye a little bit. Yeah, so like, of course, it was only and you know, also on Instagram, she also put up her impression of Nicole Kidman and her Reese Witherspoon impression, which are both really good. And so it's interesting to see that we have this one sketch that has all three of those impressions all up in here.
Yeah, it's Chloe playing opposite herself via split screen. So that was kind of interesting. And the joke there is that Drew Barrymore is just so, she's like upbeat and happy to the point of being oblivious, I guess.
Right.
Like she has a, like a segment that a lot of shows do where somebody who's fallen on hard times and they do a really nice thing for the person. But Drew, she's like, we're renovating your walk-in closet, which is like, so not what this person needs because they're in like dire financial straits.
Yeah. Right. And that's our first shot of, one of the new cast members, Punky Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then we have, Alex Moffat popping up at the end as, Drew's ex Tom Green. And I guess they recently reunited on her talk show for the first time in 15 years, whatever it was. I saw some stories about that online this week. Did not click on any of them, but I was like, okay, well, that's nice for them.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of went viral a little bit because it was supposed to be a very like emotional, heartfelt thing. And, you know, of course, you know, it's you know, Tom is like getting all these feelings out about her saying, yeah, I wish you the best. And it's I didn't see it either, but it's supposed to be very like tear-jerkery and very sweet.
Right.
But
I remember, do you remember when he hosted Saturday Night Live? And this must have been like 20 years ago, something like that. And he was like, hey, Drew, we should get married at the end of the show. And it's, and because it's Tom Green, you have no idea if it's real or not. And then at the end, like, Drew Barrymore leaves him at the altar, and it ends with him just screaming at home base. Yeah. Do you remember this at all?
Do I remember it? Dude, it is one of the most strangest episodes of Saturday Night Live. I'll never forget it. Like, I remember seeing that ending where it's literally like, no, there's like a few other cast members, cause like they're part of the quote unquote wedding.
Yeah.
And it ends with just, you know, all of them feeling sad for Tom as he like cries and screams, Drew, how could you leave me? And then the credits roll, the cast didn't dare to say goodbye. It was such a weird tone. I was like, the whole, if you go back and watch the Tom Green episode, the whole episode is like, has like some really weird sketches to it. Like there's one sketch where it's Tom Green in a bathtub with Lorne Michaels, and he has like a rubber ducky, and he literally just says ducky, 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 ducky for like, I'm going to say like a good minute and a half.
Wow.
I don't remember
that at all. I just remember the Drew Barrymore thing from when he hosted.
Yeah. Like, go back. I mean, I don't know. I never really, like, Tom Green is like, he was one of those characters that I just found more interesting than funny. Like, like people compare him to like Andy Kaufman. I mean, I would put like Eric Andre in the same category where like they do something that's just so off the wall and I go, huh? Rather than actually laugh.
Yeah. I mean, like those performers, they do seem to be more interested in just getting people weirded out than laughing. You know, they care more about being offbeat and disturbing than anything else.
I mean, I watched Tom Green show from time to time just because it was like that. It was like really insane the way he would mess with his parents and stuff. And, you know, as a younger kid, it's like, oh, that's awesome. Stick it to your parents, man. But I watched as an older person. I was like, oh, that's just mean.
Yeah. I was just a shade too old for Tom Green when he got really big. I think, he hit somewhere in the early 2000s. So I was into my 20s, like, you know, pushing 30 by then. So
yeah, you were a more mature man reading Tchaikovsky and whatnot.
Yes. I mean, I had my smoking jacket and my bubble pipe. Because I'm an intellectual man.
Yes, listening to your classical music and Noam Chomsky literature.
Yeah. And I have many leather-bound books. And apartment smells of rich mahogany.
I'm going to say something. I'm going to put it out there. If you like it, you can keep it. If not, you can send it right back. I want to be on you. Wait, no.
Darren, I'm very flattered. I want to just keep co-hosting the podcast.
I
don't really want you on me.
No, I was quoting you.
For one thing, you're a married man.
I'm quoting a movie. That's from a movie. No,
I'm aware. I just want to be clear.
I see. Very good.
I just want to be clear.
Right. We're just co-workers.
Yeah. Okay.
Got it. Drew Barrymore.
Barrymore.
This was
all right. This was it's a good showcase for Chloe Fineman.
I like this sketch quite a bit. I thought, you know, I mean, it's all kind of built on the strength of the impression. I like how when she introduced Billy Porter, you know, who Keenan played, she introduced him as, ladies and gentlemen, sensational homosexual Billy Porter.
If they hadn't said that before that, I would have had no idea that Keenan was playing Billy Porter, though.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I didn't get that either. But as much as I like this sketch, part of me really wishes that, like, this is something that Melissa could have done. This is a type of sketch that they should have written for Melissa, like, years ago to showcase her, you know, her impressions of what she can do. And, like, I don't know. Melissa should have been doing that. but I really like Chloe too, and I really like her impressions.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm like, it's like a double-edged sword, I guess, for me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Right. Next, we had our musical guest, Megan Thee Stallion, with her first number, Savage. This was, I mean, again, production-wise, this was kind of incredible with the LED backdrop around her, just like flashing throughout the song. It's really something to see, man.
Yeah, I mean, this was an interesting one. I mean, just because, you know, it's her and her dancers, like you said, and her song Savage is like a kind of like a fun kind of rap pop song, and you know, it's her, she's dancing and la da da. But then it takes the whole thing, the whole tone really changes at like midway through the song, mm-hmm. where like as she's dancing and twerking, then suddenly you hear like gunshots, and then the background changes to black, and then you see like bullet holes in the background, yeah. and like blood coming out, or you know, like yeah. not real blood, like faux blood.
Yeah, yeah, and we're hearing like sound clips in there, and yeah, it was something else, man.
Yeah, like we hear a sound clip from Malcolm X, who yeah. talks about how the black woman is the most you know, underlooked, undervalued person in America. And then we get, let me look it up. Then we hear like on some other audio from an activist, Tamika Mallory, who talks about the Kentucky Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, who, you know, who those that don't know, he was the man who was handling the Breonna Taylor case.
And a great job he did of it too.
Yeah. Just,
I mean, just, thumbs up there.
Oh boy, yeah. And so the audio from Tamika Mallory was talking about how Cameron is no different than the sellout Negroes that sold our people into slavery. And yeah, I mean, of course, you know, Daniel Cameron's a black man. I should point that out too.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, wow.
It was something else, and you know, and here we thought that her possibly doing the WAP song would be the most controversial thing, but yeah, this is something else. I mean, I'm impressed that she did it. I'm impressed that they let her do that. I mean, and that's really cool. I mean, it was really cool to her using that form to make a really strong statement, and like the LED backdrop was reading like "Protect Black Women." Behind it was really powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Then Megan came out and said, we need to protect our black women and love our black women, because at the end of the day, we need our black women. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was just such a sharp turn from where it started. Because like, I just thought, oh, it's going to be like, you know, her dancing, talking about her, you know, sex and booty and shit. And then mm-hmm. it just a total 180. It was like, I was like, whoa, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was something else. It was something else. And then she had her second number, Young Thug, Don't Stop.
It's called Don't Stop. It was with the other guy came out was Young Thug.
Oh, featuring Young Thug. I'm sorry. Yeah, I was mistaken that for the song title. So
yeah, no worries. And but yeah, that performance was kind of more straightforward, and mm-hmm. you know, I thought it was okay. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Megan Thee Stallion. I think she's good. I think she's all right, but I'm not, you know, I'm an old man. I like old school hip hop from the 90s. I like the New York boom bap, any, you know, just you know, Fushnikins, Heavy D and the Boys. That's my era. So like all this young buck hip hop, hippity hop, is just like it don't grab me, baby.
I feel so old right now. I feel like I am 90 years old right now, man.
Why?
No, just, you know, you're like, oh, I mean, like even the old school stuff you're bringing up, I haven't heard the most of it, you know, but I've never been a big rap hip hop person. So
you must have heard of Heavy D and the Boys.
I've heard of Heavy D. Yeah.
All right. There we go. All right. Your street cred is intact. You're fine.
Yeah, yeah, because my street cred is so important to me.
It really is.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Megan Thee Stallion. Next, we have Weekend Update with Colin Jost and Michael Che. Hey. And, you know, like we said, kind of a light news week, not a whole lot for them to talk about.
Yeah. Well, there was that one thing you mentioned at the top of this podcast. It was like, I forget. Somebody's in the hospital. I think.
Right.
Somebody. Right. Oh, president of the free world. He's that's it.
Is he though? Is he?
Damn. Savage.
Yeah. So we had some jokes. I mean, this was kind of my typical reaction to Weekend Update. I thought most of the jokes that Colin delivered were kind of obvious and not too edgy, but I thought Che had a better take on the stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I think Che talking about how Trump would be visited by three ghosts in his while he's there, and but then of course he said he walked it back saying, "Look, I don't wish the man ill. I don't want him to die. And, you know, I wish him a very lengthy recovery."
Yeah, that's a great line. That's a great line. I wish him a very lengthy recovery. That's great. I also liked him saying, like, you know, hey, I honestly thought Trump was trying to get coronavirus. Because, well, you know, look at how the man's acted.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, honestly, you look at it and you're just like, well, yeah, that was probably only a matter of time, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing the odds, the Vegas odds, I mean, come on. I mean, come on. Yeah, and Joe said something like, you know, say what you will about 2020, but it's got moves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and Jay, he also noted that there's nothing funny about Trump getting COVID, but he just says, mathematically, if you were constructing a joke, this has all the elements you need. Like, if I was making a joke about belts and my pants immediately fell down. This was probably tough material for them to write, because you have to walk that line of making jokes about it without actually mocking that the man came down with coronavirus.
Yeah, it's that tightrope you got to walk where you don't want to seem like an insensitive person who's mocking somebody at their time. You know, like right. The president. You don't want to seem like the president. But yeah, you don't want to seem like somebody who's like, you know, mocking or belittling somebody while they're ill, because I guess then that's like when the other president. Side. Yeah. Because like, that's when the right's like, see, the liberal media making fun of the president in his time of need and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's a very thin line to walk.
Yeah.
I think they walked it pretty well.
Staying diplomatically silent.
What happened now?
I'm staying diplomatically silent now.
You sure are, John. You sure are.
I sure am.
Just keep clenching your fists.
Yep. Hey, look at that. My hand's bleeding now.
Just bite that.
I was clenching my fist really, really hard.
See all these broken pencils around you? It's like, oh, wow.
Oh, things are going great. Have a great year.
Okay, and so we also had Bowen Yang come back as Chen Biao.
Yep.
About the whole TikTok deal.
Yeah, that's the TikTok thing. That's an interesting story, just because it seems to be, the theory is like it's compromising all sorts of information and it's foreign owned, so we don't really know where that information's going. And
I think they were saying, yeah, you know, we do have your information, but we're not going to use it or do anything about it. You're not that important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, I mean, Bowen's always good for a laugh. It's always good to see this character again.
He throws himself into this character, so he always makes it fun.
Yeah. He's always a hoot. And, you know, but again, it's good to see a familiar face again after so many months. So, you know, three cheers for Bowen.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Make him a regular cast member, Lauren.
Dude, heard me. You heard us, Lauren. Make it happen. Make it so.
Yep. Next, we have 80 Bryant returning as seventh grade travel expert Carrie Crum. And this was like a bit of a different spin on it, because she's talking about vacationing during the pandemic.
Yeah, very much. And like how much it's trickier. Go figure.
Yeah, yeah. She's talking about, like, you know, drinking from the hose in the driveway, and it tastes like dirt and metal. So we all have to make adjustments.
It's a great name for a band, Dirt and Metal.
Dirt and Metal, yeah. Oh, they're hardcore, yeah.
Oh, dude, I saw them at the Palladium. Dude, they rock.
Yeah, yeah. Hell of a show, hell of a show.
Dirt and Metal!
I don't know. Not much else to say about this. It was an okay weekend update. I felt like maybe their hands were tied a little bit.
Yeah, like I felt like there was maybe they wanted to go. I mean, like when we read our tweets, somebody kind of mentioned this too, like how it felt like they kind of wanted to go in a little bit deeper with their jokes, but maybe they had to pull back or decided to pull back just a little bit because they didn't want to seem too vicious.
Yeah, yeah, and I can kind of see that.
Yeah. So, I mean, we also had a really sweet moment as the weekend update ended. The camera pulled back and to show the audience, and we see in the audience, Kate McKinnon dressed as Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah, yeah, and she just puts her hand over her heart, and then it cuts to a card that just says, rest in power. And it was a really nice silent tribute to RGB.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Yeah, and that was, you know, I don't like SNL when it gets like too sentimental or maudlin, and I thought this was just right. I thought this was just like a quick thing, and just yeah, it really worked.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like sometimes, I mean, back in 2016 when they opened with Kate doing the Hallelujah song as Hillary Clinton, a lot of people thought that was not the right tone to set. So.
But, I thought that was a bit much, personally. I mean, I get where it was coming from, but when they did that, I was like, okay, I think this is a bit much.
Yeah, yeah, and I would agree with that. I mean, I'm trying to think of how I felt the same way that, like, you know, Kate felt when she was doing that opening. I got where the feeling was coming from, but at the same time, I was like, for this show... For SNL, I don't know if that was the right tone, but I understand the sentiment and I agree with the sentiment and I connect with the sentiment, but I don't know if that is the right sentiment for this show.
Yes.
I'll say that. I'll go that
way. It's not necessarily what SNL does best. I mean, yeah, what they do best is they can, you know, take what's happening in reality and tweaking it a bit and making it more absurd. Really tough job in this day and age, but,
yeah, like, I mean, like, with the debate, the way they open, like, I mean, if you saw the actual debate, I was like, how are they gonna mock this? This is already a mockery. How do you mock a mockery?
Our follower, Ruby the Rube, commented, that cold open might be the only time in SNL history where a political parody was tamer and less chaotic than what actually happened. I couldn't even watch all of the debate. I tried, and I had to punch out.
No, I didn't watch any of it. I just, like, you know, listened to my Heavy D and the Boys and was just, you know, reading comic books or whatever. Like, I was like, I didn't want no part of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I feel bad because I do try to be, like, an engaged citizen and, you know, I want to watch the whole thing, even if it's somebody I don't agree with and somebody that drives me insane to even hear at this point. But...
Talking about me? Or...
No, not just you. You're in the mix as well, but
son of a bitch.
No, actually, like Tuesday, I did a. there was a Riff Tracks live event. They were doing a riff of Starship Troopers, and I bought a ticket for that before I remembered that the presidential debate was on Tuesday, and it was a live thing. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm recording the debate and then watching that after.
Oh no.
I tried to watch my recording of the debate and, did not go that great. It was getting late and I ended up falling asleep. And then finally I was just like, okay, you know what? I can get all the highlights on or low lights online. So I'm not going to watch all hour and a half of this.
Yeah. All those lights are pretty low.
Yep. Yep. Oof. Yep. Yep.
P.U. All right. So, next up, NBA bubble.
NBA bubble. This was an ESPN thing. They're on the NBA bubble draft finals. So Chris Rock is hosting, And the premise of this is the players in the NBA, they're isolated from their wives and their girlfriends. And this is like a draft for the mistresses and side pieces. So,
yeah, this is pretty much like a showcase of all the female performers. Kind of the sketch.
Yeah. You know, they're playing a lot of skanks. I'm sorry. I can't think of a better way to put it. They're playing a lot of skanks.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Like, part of me was like, oh, this is, it kind of surprised me, this sketch, because it wasn't, what's the word I don't want to say woke, but it was like, it kind of reminded me of a sketch that they would have put on like in the 90s or something like that, like a little, kind of like bro humor, like it's very, like a very bro-y vibe to it.
Yeah, it kind of did, even though it was predominantly the female cast members in it, but they're all playing like just these very vapid, stupid women. We had Ego and Chloe and Lauren Holt and 80. 80's character, at one point, she thinks one of the crowd cutouts is laughing at her. I did like that Kate McKinnon comes on decked out as sort of a stereotypical lesbian, and Chris Rock's like, oh, I think you're looking for the WNBA. And she's like, oh, yes, so I am.
Yeah, and I did have that one commercial that the show was sponsored by Summer's Eve Lysol Wipes.
Yes.
Because you don't want to get it that way.
Yeah. And we surprisingly had Maya Rudolph returning. She was an NBA player wife who didn't realize that she was actually allowed in the bubble. So she finds this out, and then she becomes very PO'd at her husband.
Yeah, and those are an all right little thing. That's pretty. There wasn't too much to the sketch. It was just like you said, like the women coming out as a sort of gold diggers, as some would say.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they were gold diggers. I'm just saying that they were not dating any economically disadvantaged men of African American descent.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well said. Wow.
Yeah.
So you do know hip hop. You just said that one.
Well, how old is that song? I mean, at this point, that's at least a decade old, right?
Yeah. So that's hip hop. You know some stuff. You're from the streets.
Okay.
Now, I mean,
I don't know why you have such investment in me being more street than I am. But okay. I will.
Because you reflect me and you reflect me and my crit. My street cred, so I gotta.
Okay, I get it. You don't want to be the black guy hanging out with the really lame white guy. Okay.
Yeah, I gotta straighten you up, like Pryor and Wilder and Silver Streak.
Okay. Well, let's not do what they did in Silver Streak.
Get down, brother.
That would not go well for me.
I didn't see the whole thing. Wait, what happens? Is something.
I mean, you know, for starters, Silver Streak made in the 1970s, and they did some things that I don't think we could do in today's day and age.
I'll watch the rest of it and see what you mean, but
yeah.
What it is, brother? What is it?
That's right. We bad.
We bad.
We should at the tail end of the NBA bubble. We had Heidi as another person. She's worked for Disney. She said she worked in the Hall of Presidents as Monica Lewinsky. And at the very end, the Chris Redd is the NBA player he chooses to be quarantined with Megan Thee Stallion. So,
right.
Yeah. I thought this was kind of weak.
Yeah, it wasn't the strongest of those. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I thought the funniest part was that Summer's Eve Lysol Wipes commercial. But everything else was like, okay, this isn't. Yeah. But yeah. It was what it was.
I concur. Yeah.
Meh.
Lastly, we had a pre-tape with stunt performers, with Stunt Performers Guild, and they're like, hey, we can't work right now because of quarantine, but we can still have an epic virtual fight. So they're doing things like, throwing punches to the camera, and then the next stunt person reacts and takes the punch, and they throw things at each other. And then we have Kate and Adie come in as their stunt performers who they mostly work in children's comedies. So I do things like being kicked into a dumpster by a cow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is basically based off of that quarantine stuntman video that went viral a couple of months ago. And so like you said, it's definitely a Kate and Adie sketch, and it's just them kind of being like the what are they? Kate plays a faller downer, and Adie is a female goon.
Okay. I didn't realize that this was based on a real viral video. That somehow totally went over my head.
Yeah, if you type in like quarantine stuntman video, you see like all the stuntmen in Hollywood made this video about like, you know, basically like what it was in this sketch where like they're fighting and punching the camera and they're the way they synced it up, they actually looked pretty impressive, and they put it out. It went viral.
That makes a lot more sense. And I'm so upset right now that my quarantine stuntman Google alert just failed me. I had no idea this video existed.
You got to hit refresh on that one, man.
I guess. Yeah. I'm supposed to get a weekly email telling me all about quarantine stuntmen, and nothing.
Damn it.
Yeah. Google falling down on the job. This wouldn't happen with Alta Vista. Let me just tell you that.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. I thought the sketch was okay. It's mostly Kate and Adie doing kind of some character work, how like their old school, you know, stunt people have like, Adie talks about how her go-to move is farting from being hit on the head too hard.
Right. And she like farts for real. That's not just dubbed in after. So.
Right. They're old school. Those are real farts.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's just basically Kate and Adie riffing on a couch.
Yeah, very much so. And like at one point, Kate says, she talks about how during her stunts, like, you know, she's been bitten in the vagina by dogs. And like, she's like, I can't tell you how many times I've been bitten the vagina by a dog. Some, you know, more times than I can count. And Adie says, yeah. And also because the dogs don't understand that it's pretend, you know, they won't stop. So in order for them to let go, you got to cut their heads off.
Yeah.
Which I was like, wow.
It went to a dark place.
It did.
I mean, I'm not expecting that from the two performers that usually do sketches where they just cuddle with cats for 3 minutes.
Yeah. Now we're talking about beheading dogs. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe it's just as well that Cecily Strong was not in the studio for this week.
Yeah, Cecily would have been like, nope.
And that was surprisingly the last sketch of the night. It seemed like this show went really quickly. Like one of our Twitter followers pointed out, our follower Nikki pointed out, this was the first episode since the season 4 Richard Benjamin show in 1979, the one with Pepsi Syndrome, to have only 3 live sketches after the monologue. And she says, at the rate of these debate openings, I wouldn't be surprised if every show this month has similar pacing. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, with the length of the cold open and the fact that they have to go through all those protocols and wipe down everything for the quarantine, like, yeah, I think with all that, you have just like less time to put in more stuff. So, I mean, unless they shorten that cold open, yeah, this might be the new norm. Like, you might see just a couple of sketches before the good nights, and that's that.
Well, I mean, also probably they have to space out the live sketches much more because apparently they're like clearing out the studio in between. They're only having the absolutely essential personnel in there for each sketch. So they probably can't do as many quick changes as they used to. So we're probably going to see more pre-tapes and things like that this season. It seemed like last season they were leaning into pre-tapes more, but this season they probably are really going to lean into the pre-tapes.
Yeah, it seems like, I don't know, I don't want to say the pre-tapes are usually kind of funnier, but I mean, maybe they get tweeted and shared more than the live stuff, I think. But I don't know. Either, we'll see how it goes and see where what happens.
Yeah, I mean, they could the pre-tapes, they can definitely be more crafted because you can, well, craft them a bit more. I don't know what else to say on that. But I mean, the thrill of the show, I think it's always in the live component. So you always got to keep that element in there. I mean, it's right there in the title, for crying out loud.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want fun, unexpected things to happen.
Yeah, it's SNL. Come on, baby. So that's pretty much our show. We have the Megan Thee Stallion does her final performance with a Young Thug, and then everybody said the good nights with masks on.
Yeah,
and that's our first episode of season 46. Overall thoughts?
Overall thoughts. I thought it was just it didn't really rise above okay for me. I don't think there was any one sketch that really like absolutely blew me away. So I feel like they're getting their feet wet. They're kind of getting back into the groove, you know?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I thought this was just all right. I think, like I said before, you know, just because I know this is the first time they're doing it with all these like new precautions in place, it's a little bit trickier to move things around. It's the first time they're doing it, so I kind of graded on a curve, but. Overall, I thought it was okay. I really liked the Drew Barrymore sketch. That for me, that might be the sketch of the night. Although I did enjoy the name, the very first sketch with the name changing.
Right. But, yeah, I would probably go with the name changing sketch, the super spreader event. That I think was the funniest sketch for me. Like I said, I liked it more the second time I watched it. But I think overall the strongest thing. Undoubtedly, the Chris Rock monologue.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, because anytime you get to see Chris Rock do stand up, you're gonna see some great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, speaking of stand up, should we get into who's gonna host the show next week?
Yeah, well, let's do that. I was kind of surprised by the announcement for hosts for the next couple weeks.
Same here.
Yeah, October 10th, Mr. Bill Burr hosting.
I did not see this coming.
No, neither did I. Bill Burr, really strong stand-up. He's been around for forever. We were recently impressed by his acting performance in The King of Staten Island with Pete Davidson. So maybe Pete Davidson put in a good word for him at SNL. Who knows?
Yeah, because I think, another reason this kind of surprised me. Well, there's a few reasons. For one thing, I know Bill Burr lives in L.A., and I think we mentioned on the SNL Stats podcast that we thought, like, going forward, they'll probably just have, like, local New York people host the shows going forward. So to have Bill Burr on this is just like, well, he's coming into L.A. for this? But I think he's, like, touring a little bit, so maybe he just fit in with his schedule.
Yeah, I think as long as you can quarantine for a couple weeks beforehand. So, I mean, I'm sure they set this up beforehand. So, yeah, he probably got enough notice to come into the city and quarantine.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just never occurred to me to have Bill Burr host a show. I just never even thought about it. But I'm glad he's doing it. Like, he's one of my favorite comedians. I'm a huge fan of his stuff. I've been a fan since, early aughts. And I like how he... Like, if you look at him, you think, oh, he's just, he's going to have, like, angry white man jokes and, talk about how, broads should stay in the kitchen. And he is a little bit of that. I've seen his comedy kind of evolve a little bit more, and he wants to become more, I don't want to say woke, but just, like, more, just kind of more aware of the other side of the story. Like, so he's not, like, full-on, like, angry conservative white dude, like... He is like more and more liberal in a few other things.
Right.
And
he's kind of mixed. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's always funny. And even if I don't necessarily agree with a point of view that he's espousing, he's still very funny. And it takes a really talented person to still make you laugh at something you might not agree with,
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, he had that one joke, about how being a mother is the most difficult job in the world, and he kind of goes off on that. And again, it's like, I mean, if you watch his stand, which one is it? I think it's the Let It Go special. If you watch what he says about that, you may not agree with it, but what he's saying and the way he's saying it is, you can't deny it's really funny. So I mean, yeah. Bill Burr, I'm looking forward to very much. He's and musical guest will be Morgan Wallen or Wallen, mm-hmm. who's a country singer. So,
no wonder I hadn't heard of them. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like this seems to be like the episode like for the red states, I guess. But
run up me to the red states.
Whenever it's a country singer, I'm thinking, all right, this is for like Kentucky or whoever. But
yeah, let me see. I'm just Googling Morgan Wallen. Okay. Apparently a dude.
That's Morgan is one of those names where you're like, is this a guy?
But no, I just did a Google search. He's got facial hair, so it's a dude.
Right. But yeah, I mean, Bill Burr episode. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, huge fan of Bill Burr, and I'm glad I want to see what he's going to do.
Yeah. And, that's going to be an interesting show. And October 17th, we've got Issa Rae and Justin Bieber.
And again, I'm a huge fan of Issa Rae. I'm really happy to see what she's going to do. Like, I've been a fan of her since Misadventures of an Awkward Black Girl. My wife and I love Insecure. We watch it all the time. She's mm-hmm. really funny. She's a great actress. And I'm looking forward to seeing what she's going to bring.
Issa Rae is somebody I'm going to be coming to pretty much cold because I've not watched Awkward Black Girl or Insecure. So, yeah. So this will be interesting. This will be kind of like... when like Rachel Brosnahan hosted, because I wasn't really familiar with her before the show, so I'll be exposed to somebody new.
All right, there you go. See, look at this. We're new horizons, and we're all learning new things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Justin Bieber. That's an interesting matchup there.
Yeah, that's I mean, the Biebs. I don't know. He's all right.
He was on the show not that long ago, right?
Yeah, he was on the show. He was on the show last season. I forget who was. I don't know. The days blend together, but he was on. Yeah, he was on the show not too long ago.
I'm looking it up on the wiki. Let's see. He was last on the show February 8th of this year. So that was the show that was hosted by RuPaul. It was RuPaul.
Right. RuPaul show. All right.
Yeah, so not that long ago. It's kind of unusual for somebody to come back less than a year later. So,
I mean, I guess his schedule's free now. No one's touring or nothing.
Guess so. Yeah, I don't remember being too nuts about him on the RuPaul show. So, yeah, we'll see what he brings to the party, though.
That's right. Will he rise to the occasion or stay at the same mediocrity?
So you got high expectations.
The highest.
Yeah. We should also mention you got to guest star on another SNL podcast. You got to guest star on SNL Stats.
Yes, I did. It was me. Let me just pull it up real quick. But yeah, like a good friend of ours, John, over at SNL Stats. Just wanted to, you know, have me on and or have us on and sort of talk about the new season.
And some other people from the SNL podcasting community. You were on there with the people from the SNL Standby Line podcast. Who else? I'm blanking on the other
person. We had Dave Buckman.
Dave Buckman. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And it was great. We talked about, the new season, what we're expecting. Talked about Chris Rock, the host, pretty much everything. And it was actually, he asked one question on it that, like, I answered. He basically asked us all, like, what's the one thing that you really want to happen on this new season? And, like, I gave an answer, but it was one of those things where, like, after I logged off, I thought of, like, two way better answers I should have said.
All right. Well, you know, we're on our podcast now, so let's hear your two way better answers.
All right. Well, I mean, the two things I would love to see in this upcoming season, one I kind of touched on is, like, you know, I want to see Melissa get more, you know, camera time and more roles and really show her range, really show her impressions and really show her singing ability. Like, I think I've heard, I know I've heard, like, Cecily and Adi sing more than I have Melissa, and Melissa's a better singer. So I would like to see more of that.
Ooh, that's fired.
No shade to Cecily and Adi. They're lovely, but, like, I've heard Melissa sing, and she's, like, really a strong singer. So, like, I don't understand why you wouldn't have your strongest singer sing on the show. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also would like to see more, I guess, musical guests that are, I guess, you know, people, like, you know, of our age would know. because it does seem like they're picking more and more like the younger, hipper, newer musicians. And I would maybe like to see somebody more established, somebody more who knows the craft of music, like somebody like old people like us would know.
I don't know. I mean, I think the show always should skew kind of young. I mean, it's we're two dudes in our 40s. We should not necessarily be the target audience for everything on the show, you know? Okay. We get a Paul Simon or a David Byrne like once a year, and I think that's probably about the best we can hope for, personally.
Okay. All right, fair enough. But I don't know. Part of me would like to have like somebody older and maybe introduce these young kids to these young whippersnappers to like some of the oldies, maybe we'll introduce some young kids, like an older artist that they wouldn't have known about until they seen this episode of SNL. How about that?
Okay.
It's always the way to do it. Cause I always think of this is thing that happened, like years and years ago, like with my sister back in the 90s, she was a huge fan of the band Hole. And like she loved like Courtney Love and everything. And then she saw this interview with Courtney Love saying, "Oh yeah, like I grew up loving like Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac, like they're my idols." And my sister heard that, and my sister was like, "Who's this Stevie Nicks person that my hero Courtney Love likes? Maybe I should listen to them." And she went and listened to them, and now she loves Stevie Nicks.
That's very cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where like maybe an institution or somebody that the younger people listen to, if they tell the younger people about an older artist they should know about, they're more inclined to listen to them. So maybe SNL could do that.
Yeah. There's that YouTube series where they have like a couple of younger guys, they're listening to like classic rock songs. Like it was like these two black guys in their 20s, I think. And they're listening to like Phil Collins In the Air Tonight for the very first time.
And
live reaction. That's very amusing.
I remember seeing that where they listened to Jolene by Dolly Parton for the first time.
Right. Yeah. And they're listening to all sorts of genres and stuff. And I forget what these guys are called, but they're great. They're very amusing. You talking about, just to backtrack to the Chris Rock show a little bit. One thing I was a little disappointed by, I really would have liked a NatX sketch tonight. I feel like the times we're living in, in the age of Black Lives Matter and all that, I think a NatX sketch, Chris Rock returning to that character, would have been really something to see. And it was probably a long shot, but I would have liked to have seen that.
I agree with you. I just don't see. I think the only thing is like how many, because like you say the show always skews young. So like how many young people remember NatX though? That's the thing. Like, I mean, yeah, we had Rachel Dratch as Debbie Downer not too long ago, but I think more people remember Debbie Downer than they do NatX. So, I mean, that's the only thing.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Rock, he's an interesting position because he's somebody who definitely became more famous and more successful after he was on the show than when he was on the show. I mean, he didn't really, really break as a stand-up until after he left SNL with Bring the Pain, I believe it was.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and it's weird because he was on the show during like the Sandler, Farley, Spade era, and people remember those, you know, those characters and the sketches they did, but I don't know if people really remember the stuff that Rock necessarily brought to it.
I mean, Chris Rock, I don't think he was on the show for as long as we tend to think he was. Let me see if I can look that up. How many seasons he was on.
I remember he was on the show he was on SNL for like a few years. Then he left and then he was on A Living Color for like a year.
Yeah.
And then like that kind of didn't fizzled out. And then he did Bring the Pain.
Well, okay. He joined as a cast member in 1990 and it says on Wikipedia, he was planning to leave after the 1992-93 season. So he was effectively fired from the show.
Wow.
He appeared in six episodes of In Living Color, and then the show was canceled a month after he arrived.
Oh, right. Chris Rock said he got fired when Adam Sandler hosted, and they sang that I got fired song.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And Okay, we got some links to an Uproxx and Laugh Spin stories about. Yeah, apparently they fired him before he could quit.
Ouch. Damn it.
Yeah, but so that's only like 2.5-3 seasons. So that's not as big of a tenure as some of the other cast members.
Yeah, Sam, that's maybe why they didn't do the NetX thing, because they were like, well, he wasn't here for that long. No one really remembers NetX, so like, I mean, that's my thinking.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, it was, I knew it was a long shot at best, but it's something I really would have liked to have seen.
No, same here. I would have gotten a huge laugh out of it. We got some tweets about today's show.
Yeah, we had some amusing tweets. Yes. There were some interesting reactions. Our friend Selena Kopic, she tweeted during the show. I think this was during the cold open, the debate sketch. She said, does SNL realize that they have impressionists right there in their own cast?
Yeah.
She's not wrong.
No. Yeah. I mean, that's one of the things that they mentioned on the SNL stats podcast I was on, where they're like, we have a cast of 20 people.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a huge cast, but yet we're still going to celebrities in order to, for these like political sketches and
these people. Because it gets the people talking.
Yeah. I get it. I get, because we're in this world now where there's so much entertainment, and it's hard. It gets harder and harder to stand out and to get noticed more. Yeah. So you have to do things like stunt casting and all these kind of cheap ploys. But maybe I shouldn't say cheap ploys. But you have to do these things to get noticed more. But it's at the same time, it's like if you're a cast member who's like, well, I could do a Joe Biden, or I could I could train to do a Joe Biden. I don't really have to go. Yeah, you can't help but imagine they feel a certain type of way.
I know. I was so impressed with what Selena said. I retweeted it, and Steve Harold, he replied, "Lauren, don't give a fuck. It's gotten to the point that the only way for these cast members to get roles on the show will be after they've left the show," which, wow. Not wrong. I mean, because, you leave the show for a few years, people start to miss you, and then they go nuts when you come back. I mean, look at Maya coming back as Kamala Harris, or Tina Fey coming back as Sarah Palin. People love it when an old cast member comes back.
Yeah, I mean, Bill Hader comes back, people go bananas.
Oh, yeah. Well, deservedly so. Sure.
He's fantastic. No, that's a strong point. So as far as the tweets go, we got from Monette Marotti saying, I sense that Che was held back on telling gallows humor jokes regarding Trump's condition.
Yeah.
It's possible.
I would love to hear the jokes that he wanted to do that were axed, because there had to be a few.
Michael Che, if you're listening, please tweet him out, or like Instagram, Instagram him something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nick Storr says, I don't know how many new members there are, but it felt like an overlap. Get used to the new guys, because we bought the old ones back for one last hurrah. A lot of people are saying that after this season, there's definitely going to be some cast members leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like some of the people have got to phase out. Just because they have other things going on, or for whatever reason. So yeah, we are very likely seeing the last season for a few beloved cast members.
Yeah, I would say like Kate, 80, Cecily, Pete. If I had to put money on, I would say this would be their last seasons for those four. If I was a betting man.
A comment on Twitter that really amused me this week is I retweeted a little Cecily Strong fan video, and Monette Marotti, she just said, The podcast is really just a vehicle for the Cecily Strong stan account you run. Which I was like, again, not wrong. Not inaccurate, Monette.
Not inaccurate. And
No, she's got us.
Yeah, the jig is up.
Yep.
Oh man. And
I can't do much more than just shrug and nod and be like, yeah, okay. Guilty.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's fair.
And that's the episode, guys. Dude, thanks for listening. It's the first of many new SNL episodes we got coming up. Looking forward to the new stuff.
Yeah, it's going to be a new episode straight through the election. Lauren was saying in one of his interviews, he couldn't really figure out a time they could take a week off. So it's through beginning of November. It's just going to be all new SNL, man.
Yeah, and I think somebody also pointed out that this is going to be the first time in a long time that we get a new episode on Halloween, if I'm not mistaken.
That'll be fun. Yeah, Halloween show. Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, Halloween's on a Saturday this year. Oh, wow.
Oh, fun. Yeah, that usually means all sorts of hijinks. This year, maybe not so much.
Well, we shall see. We shall see.
We shall see. That'll be very interesting. Yeah, and it's, you know, also the week before the election, so.
Oh, God. Nothing's more scary than that.
Yeah. Real life has brought us enough horror this year. We don't really need Halloween adding on to it.
Oh, I'm clutching my pearls.
Yeah.
And, Yeah. So if you want to follow me on Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Darren Credible, DarinCredible. And actually, I have a show to promote. Finally.
Oh, yes. You said you have a show this Saturday, right?
Yes, I have a show Saturday with our good friend Donna V putting on a show in beautiful Bloomfield, New Jersey. It's at the Town Pub, which is literally 5 minutes away from my house. It's pretty much walking distance. It's going to be the first show I've done since January, so I'm going to be a little rusty. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Are you going to try some new stuff?
I have written some new stuff, so I might try it out just to see if it works. It's going to be. I'm a little scared. I'm not going to lie, but we'll see if I still got it. If I still got the old zingaroo, and also on the show. Friends of the podcast, Natty Bumpercar, and Aaron Wahlberg. Yeah. So Natty Bumpercar and Aaron Wahlberg will also be on the show. Both have been on this podcast, and so come out and see all three of us. And I'll put all the info out on my Instagram and Twitter at Darren Credible.
Well, that's nice. That's nice. Okay, I'm gonna have to just go whisper in Donna V's ear. You know, hey, maybe book the other guy on the SNL Nerd Show.
You think you're ready to make the big triumphant comeback?
I don't know. I mean, it's like anything. I don't want to do it, but when I actually do it, I'll probably enjoy myself. So it's that's how I am with like literally 90% of things in life. So.
Okay. What's said about that, the better.
Yeah. I mean, but I haven't done a show since March, so I really miss it, man.
Yeah, it's been a while, man. It's been a minute.
It's been ages. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Trumbull Comic. That's TRUMBULL and the word comic. And you can follow the show's Twitter and Instagram at SNL Nerds Show.
All right. And I guess that's it. Next time we'll see you, we'll talk about the Bill Burr, Morgan Whalen episode.
Yeah. And in the meantime, please tell your friends about the show. Please like and review us on Apple Podcasts or the Twitter or the podcast app of your choice. And because it really does help us out, and we really do appreciate it, and we do read every review and comment.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay. So we'll see you next week for Bill Burr and what was the musical guest's name again?
You already forgot his name.
Yeah.
Morgan Whalen.
Okay. Bill Burr and Morgan Whalen next week. But until then, nerds out.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.